trade deadline sneaking up, some moves made. Our guest is here courtesy of the fantastic Believe Network on Twitter. Their handle is at Believe Network. Casey is the host of the Unfiltered podcast. His Twitter handle is at Casey Stern. We head back to my old stomping ground. Casey, how's life treating you and yours in the 516?
It is doing well. You can imagine, it's a land in Long Island of traffic and bagels. It has not changed much, but all is well. It's good to be on with you, and of course, we're excited about the deadline here, just 5 days away.
Yeah, whenever I have East Coast nightmares, it's not the Jersey traffic getting to the city; it's getting stuck on the LIE. So.
Or the Belt Parkway. I mean, right. Really, you take your pick.
Right.
Take
it's like, pick. All right, so here's where I'm going to live the rest of my life. Awesome. So
That's correct. And you see your neighbors, as in the car that's on the left of you and the car that's on the right of you for the next few hours.
It's very proximate. So, Casey, as a first-time guest, maybe a little background. Where do you hail from? You know, not only what are your sports loyalties, but kind of what generation you're from. A little personal bio info.
Yeah, sure. I grew up... I am a Long Island native who likes long walks on the beach. No, I grew up in Long Island, and my first fandom was kind of a two-part attack of the Islanders of the 80s, which certainly went well for me, and the Mets of the 80s, which were kind of like a mixed bag, until Oral Hershiser took that bag and shoved it places Mets fans didn't want in 1988. I've been doing this for about 20 years. I've lived all over the country, went to school in Boston, lived in L.A., lived in Atlanta. So I've kind of bounced around plenty and a fan of all sports, but been blessed to be able to cover baseball now for the last nearly 20 years.
Yeah, I try to explain to people about that Islander dynasty that I refer to them as the perfect team because they lack nothing. The greatest goal scorer ever in Bossy, Trottier, two-way center iceman, Popvin and Langevin and Billy Smith and enforcers and Clark Gillies. And I lived back in Jersey until 1988, Philly 2 years. So well aware of the Islander dynasty. And by the way, they were so good, they got our rear ends out from Jersey to travel all the way out to Uniondale to watch them. So I don't
know. Same reverse thing that I've done for my New York Giants football team for a long period of my life, including recently a couple of championships with Eli Manning and going back to the heyday of Phil Sims and, of course, the year he was out with Jeff Hostetler as well. So I know that drive. The unfortunate part is the Jets have their fans who for many years went to Hofstra on Hempstead Turnpike right near Nassau Coliseum to watch the Jets practice. They practiced the traffic for 2.5-3 hours and never really got many wins out of it going to New Jersey, fortunately.
Nice. So a thought on the deadline, because while I love the wild card, the extra teams keeps more folks engaged, but you get those tweeners, Orioles, White Sox, Giants, they're in it, but is it logical to think, do they have to make that decision? Does it make sense for a 500 team to make a bold move, trade prospects for a run at the wild card when realistically they're not really contenders?
Yeah, I think the only time that you really see teams do that, and I think we're going to see one in this category this year, with the Seattle Mariners, is I go back to, just as an example, the Toronto Blue Jays and Alex Anthopoulos, who was very active last year with the Braves in Atlanta, getting guys like Jock Peterson and Jorge Soler, so making trades that helped them get to and win a World Series. Well, he was making deals in 10-player trades, in fact, to bring in Tulowitzkis and others when he was in Toronto just to get them into the playoffs and a wild card because they hadn't been there in 20 years. I think when you are trying to kind of revitalize a franchise that hasn't been there in a long time, the wild card and just having a chance, and remember now you got three games, not one, so at least you get more of a chance.
Right.
It gives you, it's something. It gives you life. It gives you your free agent pull in the offseason of, hey, we're a playoff team, ticket sales in an offseason. For the Seattle Mariners, who have not been in the playoffs in seemingly a century, they, I think, fit in the category of, okay, they're not as good as Houston or the Yankees, and they're probably not going to the World Series, and they can't win the division in the West, but they should try and get in if they can. And especially if they could somehow get a home game in the wild card and host that three-game series. Imagine what it would be like there in Seattle, especially, by the way, leading up to an all-star game that they host a year from now. So I think in the cases of that, Seattle for sure. But, yeah, the Orioles are a good example of, to your point, you can't do it. You're happy. You've taken next steps. You're kind of a 500 team when nobody expected. But you're living with September call-ups. You're trying out kids when you get to September, and you're still thinking long-term process, even though you've had a successful year.
Talking with Casey Stern, Unfiltered Podcast on the Believe Network. So out here in the Pacific Northwest, sometimes the tendency out of sight and out of mind. And, of course, at the recent Home Run Derby, in a lot of ways, I think Julio Rodriguez said hello to the world. So you're a perfect guy to ask, being based on the East Coast. Just that kid before the All-Star game and now, just fair to say his profile has exploded.
I think for, like, the people who are, like, fantasy baseball owners and sort of watch baseball, yeah. I think for people covering it or for diehard baseball fans, they already knew who he was. It's 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you think about, like, when we were sitting there being kids or teenagers, no, nobody would have had any idea. And it's like, who the heck are they? I mean, even though I still have nightmares about how you know, the all-time player Greg Jeffries is going to be someday as a Mets fan during that time. But, you know, you understand my point. I mean, now we know everybody, right? So we know all the prospects and the top highly touted guys. We knew Bryce Harper was blowing kisses in the minor leagues after home runs, and people hated him before they even met him. So I think depending upon, you know, national stage for sure, but again, going back to that, they have the All-Star game next year. It's one of the reasons why, whether before the deadline now or in the offseason, the Mariners are definitely going to be at play in Juan Soto conversations, because even if they can't keep him and sign him long-term, and I'm sure they would try, to make a trade to have two full years of Soto, to have an all-star game next year where you've got lefty-righty in a lineup of Soto and Rodriguez for at least 2 years, and whatever's left of this season back-to-back in an order, those kind of things are too sexy, I think, for Seattle to not look at the money and dollars that they can make off of Soto, right? Even in the next couple of years, even if they don't want to keep him long-term. So that's why I do think the Mariners are absolutely a factor at the deadline and a factor in the Juan Soto conversation, too.
So, Casey, I was on the air when the Benintendi trade from KC to the Yanks was announced, and my first thought was, he's not an arm. I hope they didn't give up too much. Turns out the three pitchers they sent, you know, none are really even among the top 20 in the Yankee organization. So he's obviously an upgrade with the bat and left. He's got a good glove. His contract is up. So what's your read on the deal? Kind of low risk, maybe high payoff?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at Benintendi, he's just a rental for the rest of the year. So the fact that, you know, it does seem like, which is crazy to me, I don't care what anybody's thought of the vaccinations are, one way or the other. You can't tell me it's principle and then say, well, if I'm on a better team, I'll get one. I mean,
right. That
to me is ridiculous. But, you know, Benintendi now, because he's on a better team, is like, oh, well, I'll think about it. And now, you know, now he'll get one. It's like people who don't want to shave and then they become a Yankee and they've been dreaming their whole life of shaving. So, you know, it'll be one of those scenarios. But they didn't give up higher than their ninth best prospect to do it. Benintendi's a high contact rate guy. Those are especially nowadays where you've got swing and miss and so many high velocity arms that are getting swings and misses. When you've got a guy who doesn't strike out much at all, who you know can be another guy in the lineup, and they've got DJ LeMahieu and Rizzo, so you've got at least three in there who are not going to, you know, flail away and swing at sliders the way that even an Aaron Judge and certainly a Stanton are going to do. We've seen it even with this Yankee team in the postseason the last 5-6 years that Judge has been up with the big league team. I think, you know, look, Scherzer just struck him three times on three sliders, right? So to have a guy who is going to make contact, who can run, who's been in a postseason, he's made high-level defensive plays in the outfield in the postseason, all of them really good fit.
You know, right in the middle of your last podcast, you hit on something I thought was spot on. It's always sexy to add the big bat, but you got to look at the game the way it's played in 2022. And it's not just about good starting, but the kind of a starter you have. And, of course, the value of the back end of the bullpen, or what I always call getting to the handshake. So if you would, kind of reiterate what you said about what's really needed in a championship staff.
Yeah, you know, look, a lot's changed over the years, right? So yeah, everybody focuses on, you know, now you've got, you know, all the statistics are different, right? And the metrics are looked at different, and you've got the shift, which is different, and you've got, you know, the launch angles and all of that. But here's what hasn't changed. The Nationals won 4 games on the road and went from bumpy roads to beautiful places, beating the Astros because of not Juan Soto, who's great, but because of Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. The Giants were in three World Series in 6 years, on, off, on, off, on, off, because of Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain, and then 1 year when Barry Zito was actually good, and hello, all of the pitching. You can go all the way back to the 90s Yankees and Derek Jeter and the documentary, and all those things are great, but Jimmy Key, David Wells, Roger Clemens, El Duque Hernandez, et cetera. It's pitching, it's pitching, it's pitching. It's still pitching. In 2017, the Astros pick up Verlander. They get to the World Series. In 2021, Max Scherzer goes to the Dodgers instead of the Padres. The Dodgers gap the Padres and win the division and go into the playoffs instead. These things are still the case. Back-end arms at the deadline. Roldis Chapman, a rental for the Cubs, for Gleyber Torres at the time, one of the top three or four prospects in the game, for a rental reliever. But even though Joe Maddon tried to screw it up in one of those games, Aroldis Chapman was a huge part of winning a World Series, ended up going right back to the Yankees. But the Cubs, who are at the parade, and their fans don't care because they got Chapman. It is still about the front of the rotation and the back end of the bullpen and shortening games. Like an NBA team, you shorten the rotation, right, when you get there. You need five starters in the big leagues. You need 12 players when you're in the NBA. But at the end of the day, those guys are playing 47, 48 minutes, right? And the whole second half and all that in the NBA. And it's the same thing in baseball. You just go back to, in one game specifically to round this out, that points this out. The Dodgers go back to the year the Nationals won it in 2019. The Dodgers were the heavy favorite to win the whole thing, by far the best team in baseball. They lost a game five at home in the first round to go home. That game was started by Max Scherzer, and then out of the bullpen came Steven Strasburg in the same day to send them away. It's still about high-end pitching.
Couple final thoughts for Casey Stern, Unfiltered Podcast on the Believe Network. Another name that you're hearing is Shohei Ohtani. Obviously a once-in-a-lifetime talent. The Angels, obviously a mess. He's only signed through this season. So explain why you're thinking, look, stop. He's not on the market. There's just no way this franchise is dealing a guy with his kind of transcendent value.
Yeah, look, everybody talks about, like, the Angels are having – no, look, I've said this before, the last couple of days. You never say never, right? So it's like Fangraphs, I laugh. They're always like, you know, this team has 0.0 chance to win. Well, that's not even mathematically possible. Otherwise, they're not playing, right? Everybody has a chance. So you could trade 27 guys for Ohtani tomorrow. You probably can get him in Trout, right? But here's why he's not getting moved. When people talk about Ohtani conversations, it's the receiving of calls. Who wouldn't call? 29 teams should call and try and get Ohtani. But for the same reason, the Angels won't and can't trade him. Because of the value he brings that has nothing to do with him pitching or him hitting, but the business of baseball, the fact that baseball teams are companies that internationally, just think about it, it makes common sense to all of us and everybody listening, the difference between him and everyone else, including Juan Soto and Mike Trout, because he is a unicorn who pitches and because he hits, that means you're not just going to see a Pedro Martinez or Greg Maddux in your stadium every 5 days. This guy is bringing tickets and gates and sponsors and concessions and all every single day, and ratings and sponsors for your regional network every single day. He's also giving you international love and the brand and business and national TV and all of that. And the list goes, I mean, it's endless. He stands in a category of one in all of baseball with what he brings you financially. Artie Moreno, the owner, can't leave and lose Ohtani, because if the team's going to be bad either way, you'd rather not lose all the value that Ohtani's giving you regardless of what the standings say.
All right, the last thing I need to get to for selfish reasons, because I get to talk to a Giants fan. Obviously, I cover Oregon. This show is on the flagship station of the Ducks. And with the fifth pick, G-men take Kayvon Thibodeau. So beyond speculating what kind of an NFL player he might become, you know, it's a new era of Giants football. Guy seems born for the Big Apple. Casey, what kind of buzz has KT been causing in New York?
Well, certainly plenty. I think because they need some energy and some spark with this team and this franchise. I mean, look, you know, Eli Manning, I laugh as I say this because I love I still laugh at, like, friends of mine are like, oh, Eli wasn't any good. I don't care how many picks he threw. We've got two Super Bowl MVPs. But he looked dopey, and everybody was like, you know, he was goofy. But you had Michael Strahan, and you had Justin Tuck, right? And you had Kiwanuka. You had personalities and energy. That's what New York is about. The Giants are not the Chicago Bears of 85. But right after that, when you think about it, they don't need to play at Lambeau. They've always been a force with running the game right down your throat, right? And being able to sack the quarterback, or in Joe Theismann's case, much worse, unfortunately, in Lawrence Taylor's situation. I look at them, and they get a chance now to bring another guy who can finally, you know, put a face towards all that energy. And I feel bad that Saquon Barkley could be that, but he never stays on the field. You know, he's one of these guys that it's unfortunate. You know, Tiki Barber has been kind of, you know, a nut job in a lot of ways, you know, towards the end of his Giant career into, like, things that he said afterwards. But people never gave enough credit for how small he was and how durable he really was. And Saquon Barkley is a way more talented dude, but it's not nearly as durable as Tiki Barber was, and looks like maybe he's a third down back, 14, 15 carries a game. You know, I'm not saying he's Darren Sproles, but you start to wonder whether or not Barkley can actually be a factor as an every down back for a team. That's the scary thing for me with the Giants, is how healthy is Barkley, and how much is he really a guy who's a number one running back?
Yeah, and a number two pick overall.
Folks, you're right, right.
He's Casey Stern, host of the Unfiltered Podcast. A lot of great stuff, as always, from the Believe Network. You can follow Casey on Twitter, the handle at Casey Stern, repping the 516. Casey, great getting a chance to catch up. Really appreciate you finding some time. Be well, and definitely look forward to talking again down the road.
Anytime, man. You give me a shout anytime you need me. Happy to come on.
All right. Be well. Appreciate the time. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
You too.